This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A new series from Madison 365 is looking at a lot of different ways the pandemic has changed people's lives in Wisconsin. The series is called Lasting Impacts, and the first piece looks at nonprofit groups that had to pivot from their normal operations. Robert Chappell is executive editor of 365 Media Foundation. His recent piece for Madison 365 is called A Cultural Shift. Nonprofits see lasting changes, some subtle, some seismic, coming out of the pandemic. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. How are you?
Well, good. Now, you talk to people in the nonprofit world in Madison, mm-hmm. Dade County, Greater Green Bay area, Appleton. What led you to want to explore how the pandemic had influenced these nonprofit groups?
Well, we kind of put the question out there last year. We did a series in cooperation with the Wausau Pilot and Herald, and we actually came on your show and talked about that, the mm-hmm. lasting impacts of the pandemic on incarceration. And that was just such a fascinating thing that there are things that are being done differently now in the prison and jail system that could have been done differently all along, right? And they're just deciding to do things differently now because of the pandemic, and some of those changes will stick. And we thought that was just really fascinating. And we started thinking about what other systems, institutions, day-to-day life things are going to just be different now, even, you know, cross your fingers that there will be a post-pandemic time eventually. But, you know, what is it about our daily lives is going to be different now that we're going to look back 5 years from now and say, oh, we did that differently now because of the pandemic. So we started to think about different, different areas of life that we know will have been impacted. And we wanted to tackle nonprofits first because, you know, we are a nonprofit news outlet. We're very deeply involved with the nonprofit community here in Madison, as well as around the state. And we just saw really, really quickly how the nonprofit sector addressed the pandemic needs, the immediate needs of the pandemic very early on, back in like March and April of 2020. So I just thought we should check in with them and talk about, you know, in the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, how have things changed for you, and which of those changes are going to stick?
Yeah, what were some of the biggest changes with mm-hmm. the, for many, sudden pivot to a very different set of needs?
Well, the first most apparent one is that nonprofit organizations started to do things that they'd never done before using the infrastructure they have in place, right? A good nonprofit has a network of contacts in a community, has an infrastructure to deliver services, and some of them just had to pivot to deliver different services. Like you had Literacy Network, which normally does, you know, English language learning, and they are now, so they've got this pot of this group of people that they serve, and now they're giving them not only literacy skills but gas cards and grocery store gift cards and things like that to help them get through that really difficult time. You have the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County suddenly becoming a mask distribution organization. They're normally doing after school care, education support, and now they've distributed 2.5 million face masks. You know, it's just they know how to deliver services. They're just delivering different services. But then you also had a whole other sector of nonprofits in like the arts, for example, who kind of shut down completely and took several months to sort of reflect and be introspective and think about how they're going to do things differently in the future. And we're actually going to explore that in a later piece in the series. We're just going to look specifically at arts and culture.
What are some of the things, obviously, well, hopefully a group won't have to give out masks forever. What kind of changes did you see in their operations that they think, yeah, this might be a model. Maybe we should have been doing this all along.
I think the biggest thing on the nonprofit side from that, and we'll talk about the funding side also, mm-hmm. there's some permanent changes on the funding side, I think. But the biggest thing on the nonprofit side is collaboration. You have up in Appleton, you had a group of nonprofits that got together early in the pandemic to form the Multicultural Communications Committee, which basically just understanding that people needed to be informed. People needed information, and there are pockets and smallish communities all over the state, but you know, Fox Valley as well, that maybe don't speak English as a first language, don't engage with mainstream media, maybe won't trust the county coming to them. So they figured out, how can we reach these constituencies? These are our people that we work with every day. How can we get this information to their hands? And then they did that, and they were successful doing that. And a year later, now there are vaccines available. So they pivoted from communication to creating vaccine pop-ups, right? And they're doing this as a collaboration of different groups. And what's happening now is all those groups are actually getting together to form a brand new group. There's a whole new nonprofit up there called the Multicultural Coalition Incorporated. They've applied for 501c3 status. In fact, they may have already gotten it by now. This is a few weeks ago now that they said that they had applied for it. They're doing some funding to hire staff, and they're going to continue to do that collaborative work to address other equity issues in literacy, in transportation, in employment, and education disparities. So, and the collaboration part was really key for a couple of reasons. First of all, there's this, anybody in the nonprofit world knows, like you end up competing for money, right? There's government grants, there's foundation grants, and you're kind of fighting over scraps. But if you come together, you can all have a piece of the pie and you can all do your work by sharing resources. But also they were able to bring the really important issues of those marginalized communities to greater attention. Like they were getting meetings with the governor. They were getting meetings with the DHS secretary that an individual organization may not have been able to get that attention, but coming together, they're able to like raise the issues up and get more attention and more state resources as well.
You mentioned changes also in the way these things are funded and way fundraising mm-hmm. is done. Can you spend a minute or so talking about that?
Sure. Yeah. On the foundation side, I talked with the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation, and this is also reflected in my conversations with the Madison Community Foundation as well. But that funding just got more flexible, right? They've been talking for years about trying to make it easier for nonprofits to access funding. So in Green Bay, they were able to take their normal like 15-page grant applications, get it down to one page, just for expeditious purposes. And now they're finding out, oh, wait, we actually didn't really need those other 14 pages, right? They're meeting more frequently to get funding decisions made more quickly, and we could continue to do this. And also on the reporting side, you know, if you get a grant for $10,000, you spend the $10,000, then you got to write a 20-page report about what you did with the $10,000. They're getting rid of that, and they're just having a phone conversation. But how did it go? Were we able to meet your needs? What other needs do you have? And that's a much more interactive and much more just a much more productive way to look at what else needs to happen.
And you also wrote about in-person fundraising, that big annual event or whatever.
Yeah.
People can do
right.
that in person. Are those maybe going to go away?
Maybe. I think, you know, they're finding out maybe you don't need to do a silent auction for everything. Maybe it's just people actually want to give you money to support your cause, not to dress up and be fancy. So those fundraisers events, you know, might continue to be fun and stuff, but they're seeming less absolutely necessary.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
Talking to Robert Chappell, Executive Director of 365 Media Foundation. We talked to him about his recent piece for the Madison 365 year-long series called Lasting Impacts, looking at the pandemic and its impacts on nonprofit organizations. If you have a story to share, if you work with a nonprofit, if you run one, if you receive services for one, what kind of things changed for you during the pandemic? Did you learn lessons maybe that will stick around after the pandemic? Let us know. Email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.